It's certainly a privilege, opportunity, and thankfulness we should all have that we can assemble to worship our Almighty God, and that we can come together and encourage each other. Thankful to Brian for the class, and let's also keep in mind, maybe we don't mention it enough, those that have taken the responsibility to teach the kids downstairs. I've taught every class down there except those little kids. And they don't want me teaching that class down there. But the women that do that do an excellent job. We have to remember that the teaching of our small children, our children, grandchildren, whatever the case may be, is so important that they also, in their formidable years, are able to learn God's word. They'll never forget it. That's what the scriptures teach us. I'd like to look at a subject this morning that we're all familiar with. And it's a subject that there's no small amount of scripture that has teaching for us. One of the things we really appreciate about God's word is the warnings that it gives us, the dangers that it tells us about. We're not left without instruction on how to live in this life. If we mess up our life, it's our own fault, because we can turn to God's word and he can guide us through the light of his word. The subject this morning is one we've talked about before, and that is the tongue. It's a subject that's always relevant. It's a subject that applies to each and every one of us. It's a subject that we battle with, that we should be aware of each and every day of our life. To introduce our study, let's turn to what I call the tongue chapter, and that is James chapter 3 and verses 1 through 12. And this will help set the foundation of our study. Very simple teaching, but so profound. And we could just have a lesson just from the things that are being taught in this section of verse. Hear the Holy Spirit. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Very profound teaching, very simple teaching, but it's something each and every one of us, as we read this, and especially the comparisons, the bit in the horse's mouth, the fire, a small fire, how it causes a whole forest. We even see that today in the ship that is turned by the rudder. If anything we get out of this lesson, realize the small tongue can cause a lot of damage. And the Bible warns us about that. James warns us about that in just these 12 verses. He's heeding to us. He's pleading to us to understand the tongue. It's something I'm sure we all battle with. And it's something we all have to think about each and every day of our life. As we just kind of sum up what was talked about here in James 3, 1, 2, teachers, we are going to receive a stricter judgment. It emphasizes those that teach, whether personally or publicly or whatever the case may be, those that are speaking, those that are using their tongue, they will be held accountable at a stricter judgment. And think about that. Think about all the false teachers today and all the tongues that are being used this morning in a false way. Tongue is a little member and boasts great things, in verse 5. No man can tame the tongue, verse 8. And we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Will our tongue be used properly? Let's look at a few scriptures, one of many that we could cite, and just the teaching that comes from God's word about the tongue. In Psalms chapter 39, in verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. One of the things that Psalms 39, 1 teaches about this idea about when the wicked is before me, either they're listening to me or they're persecuting me. We'll look at that later. One of the things I want to emphasize this morning is often we think about our moods, our attitudes. You ever thought about how things people say to you affect you and how you respond? Most of what we say isn't just to ourselves over in a little corner. We're having a conversation with somebody, and somebody says something to us, and it's real easy to fire back, to snap back. What causes that? We may look at that. But we need to keep our tongue. We should not sin with it. And that's the serious business we're talking about. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his whole heart, this man's religion is what? It's vain. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The devil knows this. We may try to do everything right in our life. We may try to live right, moral life, treat people right, do this, do that. But our tongue just runs wild. And we say things and we're not even thinking about what we're saying. This is serious business. And the Holy Spirit, through these verses, is telling us. I think we all understand how important communication is in our life. We do it every day. And we'll talk more about how about to our husbands and our wife, to our family. Maybe you're like, well, I don't work anymore. I don't interact with very many people anymore. Okay, what about our cell phones? What about texting? What about social media, Facebook, Instagram, and all the other ones? That's our mind. That's our thought. That's our action. Do we think about that? About what is being said? How we're communicating? Do we stop for even a minute before we say something about, I wonder how that person will respond to what I'm saying? That's what the scriptures tell us, to take heed. That's what James is telling us, to think before we speak and to know what we're saying. What about you in this age of information? We have to be very careful. The devil will use each and every opportunity that he can to make us stumble. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Somebody says, you know, Rob, how do I have a successful life? Well, it'll start right here, because this isn't me saying this. This is the Holy Spirit. For he that will what? Love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Your life is going to be a whole lot better what Peter's saying here, and he would know if we were refraining our tongue from evil. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, speaking of Jesus, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, there was a trigger. It didn't matter to him. He reviled not again. When he suffered, a trigger, it did not matter to him. He threatened not. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, we want an example. Just go to the scriptures and look what is said and taught about how Jesus reacted. You remember there was times when Jesus didn't even speak when he was asked a question. He just kept quiet, didn't he? There was times he had to speak, and we may look at that as well. Jesus is the ultimate example. Here was one from early on in his ministry, just put up with so much and did not sin one time with his tongue. What about you and me? We can use him as the perfect example. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. We're known by our fruit. We're known by our lips. We're known by our tongue. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What we say and what we speak and our actions are what's in our heart. When somebody says something, it went through their mind, it went through their heart, and it came out of their mouth. I had somebody at work tell me once that sarcasm is something that somebody really wants to say to you, but they just kind of do it sarcastically. How about you and me? Do we say things to people? Do we regret saying them? It's our heart. It's what we're thinking about. It's one on our mind. As we continue to just look at the scriptures about this, Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We have both sides here, and that's really what my focus is this morning. There's speaking those things that we should not, and speaking those things we should. We can't stop speaking. I don't think anybody's here taking a vow that I'll never speak again. I don't want to stand before. Well, we don't have that option as Christians. We cannot just not speak. But, you know, we can speak the tongue of the wise. And it's good health to those that hear this. In Proverbs 21 and verse 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue does what? Keepeth his soul from troubles. This is serious business that we're talking about, the tongue. It's so powerful, and I think it has so much application today and always. In Proverbs 21 and verse 11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. How many of us does that apply to? I've vented my feelings, you've vented your feelings. What does that really mean? It means think about what you're saying and why you're saying it. Maybe you're better off to go in a closet and shut the door and vent it to somebody that can't hear it. Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now that's something good. That's something good that's going to be, the tongue's going to be used. And we'll look at that more just in a minute. 1 Timothy 5:13, here's some bad uses of the tongue. With all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things, what? Which they ought not. Proverbs 20, verse 25, you will, 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Colossians 3, verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Are we familiar with those scriptures? Do those scriptures even mean anything to us when we hear them? Or do you say, you know, Rob, I don't have a problem with the tongue. I'm okay. Maybe you're in denial. Because I'm going to go back and read James chapter 3. And it says, no man can tame the tongue. There ain't anybody here that can claim I have my tongue fully tamed. If it is, go read James chapter 3. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing that each and every one of us have to be careful, your speaker included. So what's some of the dangers of the tongue? Some we've already looked at. How about lying? I tell you, maybe I'm just more aware of this. Lying is just second nature. People lie all the time. You ask somebody at work, did you do that or do that? Yeah, no. Yeah. And not even think twice about lying. How about us? I mean, let's hope that we're not lying. We're not just not being held responsible for the things we do. Just lying. It's horrible. How about slander? We know what these things are. How about cursing? I tell you, anymore, and I use cursing in the sense of foul language, those things that aren't proper. It's becoming so normal anymore. I always thought if you were a manager at a business or whatever, you're in leadership or the president of a company, it didn't matter. There was a time, I think, that you wouldn't hear profanity from people in those. But now, it's just common. It's so common. Let's not become part of the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And we're not to speak like that. And if we speak like that, we need to apologize and say, I messed up. I shouldn't be speaking like that. We shouldn't be using words like that. How about some other dangers of the tongue that the Bible brings out to each and every one of us? How about tearing down others? And sometimes that's just slander. Sometimes we just speak of somebody in a negative way. And I'll use myself, you know, Rob, and Rob this, and Rob that. Some of it may be true. And we'll see that even with the next one. Some people will say, if I said to Rusty, hey, Rusty, guess what? Did you hear? Anyway, when somebody says to me, did you hear? I just usually tell them I don't want to hear. Why are you telling me? Well, yeah, I don't gossip, Rob, because everything I say is true. Do you know gossip doesn't have to be things that are false? Gossip is things that should not be said. So we should think about, why am I saying this? What's the purpose of it? Am I tearing down somebody? Am I belittling somebody? What's the purpose for me speaking right now? How about backbiting? That can happen among brethren. It can happen among co-workers. And if you're in a position, and I am now at work, I can say, we're not going to tear people down. That's not what we're about, backbiting and destroying people. This is something that'll tear a church up, about sowing the seeds of discord. Every division here and other divisions I've heard at other churches, this was the root of it right here. Because if you want to gain a following, you have to gain people. You have to use your mouth. And sowing seeds of discords. Well, what do you think about the elders? Or what do you think about the preaching? Or what do you think about this member? Instead of going to that member, as the scriptures teach us in Matthew, and working that out, and maybe nobody ever knows about it, the devil will use us. How about boasting? Well, I've done this, and I've done that. And we all have accomplishments. How about giving God the credit a little bit about the abilities that he's given you? And we're thankful for that. It's easy to boast. It's easy to, in our society, it's all about me and what I've done. With zero credit going to God, it's me, these are my things, I've earned these things, I was educated. Where's God in the picture? Well, I don't know. No. How about just negativity? And these are very subjective things sometimes. But you ever been around somebody and you could say something like, here's the conversation. Wow, it's really sunny today. Yeah, but it's probably going to be really hot. Now, what they're saying could be true. Okay? And then you might say, yeah, it might be. You know, it's summertime. It does get hot. Well, you could say, well, it may even rain. I mean, we're not forecasters, right? It rained yesterday at my house. I didn't even think it was going to rain. Yeah, but if it rains, it'll probably hail. And I'll probably get, my car's going to get hail damage. And I'm going to take it from there. I'll probably turn it into the insurance company. And they probably won't pay for my claim. Then I'm out of a car. I'm out of work. We can't live in that world. If you live in that world, your life is miserable. Now, I'm not saying we're not realists, but I'm just saying, do we have to predict things to the point where we just have a negative attitude? It's sunny. Well, it might rain. Yeah, well, we need the rain. Yeah, but we don't need the hail. It'll ruin my car. Well, it's all about you then. It's all about your car, right? So sometimes we can just be extremely negative to the point that it can affect others around us. Again, are we thinking about what we're saying and how it affects other people? Let me read this. Is it inspired from the scriptures? I'm not even sure. Author is unknown. I want you to listen to this story. I found it very amazing to me what was said from this. And I think we can learn from these type of things. It's kind of small on my screen. Maybe I should read it from there. There was a little boy with a bad temper. His father gave him a bag of nails and told him that every time he lost his temper, to hammer a nail in the back fence. The first day, the boy had driven 37 nails into the fence. Then he gradually dwindled down. He discovered it was easier to hold his temper than to drive those nails into the fence. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all. He told his father about it, and the father suggested that the boy now pull out one nail for each day that he was able to hold his temper. The day passed, and the young boy was finally able to tell his father that all the nails were gone. The father took his son by the hand and led him to the fence. "You have done well, my son, but look at the holes in the fence. The fence will never be the same. When you say things in anger, they leave a scar just like this one. You can put a knife in a man and draw it out. It won't matter how many times you say, 'I'm sorry,' the wound is still there. A verbal wound is as bad as a physical one." We can't take it back. We can say sorry, we can do all that, but maybe we should have never to start with. Then we don't have to worry about constantly taking things back. They leave scars. They leave memories. People can forgive and forget, but they can oftentimes remember how you made them feel by the things that you told them. Keep that in mind whenever we speak. Keep that in mind before we say something. So that's a negative part. Like I said, there's the negative part of the tongue. And I think to be thorough, we have to deal with that. But what about some positive things of the tongue? There's a lot of positive things that we can do with our tongue. How about encouraging one another? Now, I want you to think, we're going to get real personal now. It's our application time in the sermon. I want you to think, and I'm not asking you to go back far. I'm asking you to go back 1 week from now. 1 week from today, back to last Sunday. How many times did you encourage somebody? Now, you might have to stop and think, well, I was over here, I was over there. How about the brethren here? How many times have you encouraged them? Think about it. These are positive things we can use our tongue for. How about teaching others? As we talked about this morning, What a great use of our tongue to teach them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether it's our neighbors, our family, whoever the situation may be. How about confessing wrong? How about us husbands? Us wives? Have you ever told your wife, I'm sorry? Have you ever told your husband, you're sorry? Oh no, we've been married 50 years. I've never told her that, and she's never told me that. Have we told others that? Maybe we've said or done something to somebody, and we need to go back to them. Say, hey, I was wrong. Sorry. We will stand before God and give an account for these things. What better thing that we can use our tongue for than to be thankful? Be thankful to God as we pray. Be thankful to one another. How about prayer? What better use of the Christian tongue than prayer? How many times a day do you pray? Well, there's most of that time. I may pray when I get up, pray for my food, pray when I go to bed. I might pray 20 prayers in a day. That's probably not a lot, depending on your situation. That's something we can use, and I know I can use even more, even better. How about singing praise to God? Whether here, we talked about Paul and Silas. I don't know about you. Have you ever sung hymns? We memorize these books. We know these songs. Yeah. You ever been down and depressed? Sing a song. Sing a song. Let the words of God encourage you. Just as Paul and Silas in that prison, just being beaten or in severe pain and all locked up, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were singing praises to God. And you know what? Others were hearing them. Kind of jumped ahead, but how about just please, thank you, you're welcome. Those three words are often forgotten. Somebody does something for you, thank you. We got to teach our kids and grandkids this. You hold a door open for somebody now, they just walk through it like they're a king or a queen. Thank you, appreciate that. Our society's lost that. They're all about themselves. We live in a very selfish society. And you're saying, well, prove it to me, Rob. Well, I tell you what, get in your car, and when you go home today, see how many people race around you, get to the next light, go here, go there. We see it every day. And it can wear on us, but we just have to say, okay, that's just the way it is. You know? But that's reflective on the society that we have. Now, that's an action, but I'm sure sometimes you were to talk to those person, they're like, get out of my way. This is my thing. This is what's important to me. Hebrews 10:24. Now we all know what 25 says. I bet you everybody here could quote Hebrews 10:25 about not forsaking the assembly of the saints. We're going to stand before God and give an account why we weren't here when these doors were open. And I'll just be plain about it. I don't want to stand before God and say the doors were open and I wasn't here. Sorry, this is the way it is. That's Hebrews 10:24. But why? Why is 25 there? Guess what? 24 is right before it. It ain't all about you. It ain't all about you. Well, I can miss. They don't really care. Yeah, they do. Because I have to encourage you, and you need to encourage me. And if you're not here, you're not encouraging me. You're not here. And I can't encourage you because you're not here. That's what 24 is saying. And let us consider one another. You are considering one another by being here. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. How many of you are encouraged by people at your work? We're just working there. I'm encouraged by some. I'll say that. But I get encouragement right here. And I don't care if there's only three of us here. I'm encouraged by those that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And we talk about this, we're very few. We're very few. There's very few here. Think about how many people are truly worshiping God in spirit and truth this day in Denver. Don't know. But it's very few compared to the millions that live here. I'm passionate about this, brother, because I see it's easy for us to slip. Before we know it, maybe we just attend on Sunday. Now there's churches after this whole COVID thing, they're only attending on Sunday. They like being off Sunday night. They like being off Wednesday. What if we talked about that? Would that bother you? If we just said we're canceling Sunday night and Wednesday. But would you put up a fight and say, I want to be here each and every service to encourage one another. And there's no scripture that says you got to meet Sunday night and Wednesday. I understand all that. So don't come to me with that. But that's where we can use our tongue in a positive way. That's the reason we can use our actions in a positive way. And don't think that you not being here doesn't matter, because it does. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech, what? Be always, sometimes, when you think about it, no. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, there's a specific, and that's good. So when we talk to our fellow man, we need to have this. But in general, that's our demeanor. That's who we are. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, what? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Do those messages ring out to us? Do those messages ring out to us as it pertains to our speech and our conduct? Well, what's the conclusion? Realize the dangers of the tongue. At a minimum, here's what I get out of this lesson, because I'm preaching to myself more than anybody. Stop and say to yourself, there's a real danger in everything I say, everything that I speak. If you understand that, that's the starting point, okay? Think before you speak. Now, they used to have the old saying, count to 10 before you say something. Remember those triggers I was talking about? If somebody makes you angry, somebody says something to you, something you're just not, it's not sitting well with you, you might want to count to 30 before you say something. Or you may just choose to say to the person, hey, let's talk about this at a later time. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to fly off at the mouth, if you're going to let your anger become, don't do it. Don't do it. And oftentimes at the end of the day, I don't know what you do, you think back through conversations. Did I say or do something today? Do I need to take care of something? Yeah, you need to pray to God. But you may need to go to that person and say, hey, sometimes you should correct it right then and there. It's a filtering, if you will. We have our minds. We filter what we say and do through God's word. And we say to ourselves, no, not saying that. Shouldn't say that. Shouldn't even be thinking that. Think about how one receives what you're saying. And I don't want to use myself again, but let me just tell you what I do. I say to myself, if I say that, how is that person going to react to it? Now, if some people have said something to me, I had no reaction. I didn't know how to react. Sometimes it was nebulous or something. But think about when you're talking, how somebody's going to receive that. And sometimes, would this make that person mad? You know, you might be talking to somebody that's struggling with their weight. And you might say, hey, you eat that, you're going to keep putting pounds on. It's probably not a good idea, people that are struggling with their weight, to talk about those. They're real sensitive. I know I am. So, yeah, you can encourage them. Hey, I noticed you lost a pound. You know, but anyway, just think about that. Think about it. Not only here, but in all of our contact with those in the society. Because do we want the reputation as like, I don't want to have anything to do with Rob. He just runs off at the mouth. I can't even talk to him. I don't even want to listen to him. Yeah, I don't want that reputation. Because then we hinder the gospel, don't we? We hinder being able to talk to them about their souls. I talked about this earlier. When we make a mistake, set aside our pride, set aside those things that will be eternal in their nature, meaning we may not be forgiven of those if we don't make the correction. I'm sorry. Hey, no, I didn't mean anything bad by it, or you know, whatever the situation may be. A lot of times what we say, it depends on how the person reacts when they hear it. And maybe you just didn't think about that. But sometimes you say something to somebody and their face kind of gets, and you're like, well, said the wrong thing, wrong time. I'm sorry about that. We cannot take back our words once we say them. Never. You can't retract it back. You wish you could. You wish you could shove it back down your throat. But it's been said. And the use of a tongue in a positive way. We often talk about the negative, but there's a lot of positive things that we can do and we can say. Teaching the gospel, being a good example, telling people thank you, praising them, just whatever we have to do. And there's some difficult times. Sure. As parents, we all understand that. Sometimes you have to take your kids aside and say, this isn't what God's Word teaches. We shouldn't be doing those things. That's tough. And some may view it as negative. I view it as positive. I've used it as love. I love them and care them for them. And I want to make sure they and myself are doing what's right. How serious is this? As we look at our last scripture, something we've already read. Remember, we started out reading some of these verses. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, what? They shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. If anything, that ought to scare you to death. Every careless word that I say, we're going to give an account for. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I think this is a strong point in my own life. Yeah, we may not drink and dance. There's a lot of things we avoid and don't do. But we're not exempt from this one. Our tongue isn't exempt. And you know, I mentioned husbands and wives. Be an encouragement to each other. Be an encouragement to you. That's what a husband and wife, their helpmeet, or your family, or your friends, or whoever you're around. Be the type of person that you'll be justified by the things that you say. Now, you might say, wow, there's just a lot to unpack here, Rob. No, it's not. It's very simple. If you want, I'll give you my notes. You can take a moment and read them. It's how important this is. Think about it. Think about this last week. Did you say things of encouragement? Did you say things that were discouraging? Did you say things you need to correct? Maybe a wife to her husband, a husband to her wife, a mother to their children, children to their mother or father. I've told my girls when they were growing up, and Rachel can attest this, I said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. You need to listen and twice as much as you speak. We've lost that. And I tell you, I'll just mention this. We don't even give the common courtesy when two people are talking. And we enter into that. I've been in a conversation where all three people are talking at the same time. You ever been in a conversation like that? I just kind of walk away. I try to say something. That's being rude. You might have some great thing to say that you want to impart to somebody. Just, can we be orderly? Can we talk one at a time? We have to teach little kids. Okay, little Johnny's talking. These are things I've seen. These are things I have to work on. It's all things with our tongue. And you have to be humble. You have to say, you know, I'm not that important. We're not in the grand scheme of things. Are we that important? Nope, we're not. What we've done and say and things we've accomplished. There's nothing wrong with talking to people about that. But you ever say somebody to somebody at like at work, hey, how's your weekend? Week after week after week. They never once asked me how my weekend was. Our communication skills in America have went right down because we're so selfish, it's all about us. But do not let this world transform our mind to something that's wicked and evil, and we're just following their what they do. Stop and think about your conversations, your communications. And I ain't even talking about Facebook or texting or any of that. I'm just talking about the old-fashioned one-on-one talking. What about you this morning? The invitation is now being extended for two reasons. Now, we do this each and every Lord's Day, each and every day, Sunday night, Wednesday, whenever we assemble, not knowing the hearts of people. If you're not a Christian and you're seriously thinking about it, we're here to help you to believe, repent, confess. That's using the tongue in a good way. And to be baptized and then live a life that you'll never regret being as a Christian. Or maybe you're a Christian and maybe some of these very things that I spoke about this morning have affected you. Or maybe in just a general sense, in a general sense that you need prayers. We can pray for you. That's a good way to use a tongue. The scriptures tell us the effectual prayer of a faithful man, of people that are living God, is effective. We can pray for you on your behalf. We can help you. We can encourage you. And don't go home thinking, man, I need encouragement, but I'm just not going to ask for it. Well, you're not going to get it. We don't know, especially if you're experiencing difficulty times. That's a good way that we can use our tongue, that we can pray for each other. We can care for each other. We can be kind to one another. Let's not let the world change that in the way that we see things going on now. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.